Man, we're glad that you guys are here. Week two of this confession series. And man, there's so much last week to digest. And as we talked about how I hate Christians and that confession that we all have to make, and that confession that's so true for all of us. And so as we prepare ourselves for the second confession beyond the I hate Christians, I want us to kind of wrap our mind around it like this. Let's make a list of situations in life that stress us out. How about that? And you, by all means, feel free to, you know, talk back. First service was great. It was, you know, everybody had good energy and everybody had something to share. And so, by all means, you should be more awake than them. And situations in life that cause stress or that stress you out. Go. Driving in general, that's good, that's good. Yes. Children in general.
Walmart.
Walmart.
A vehicle on fire.
A vehicle on fire, that's right.
In-laws.
Yeah. Man, that's just a... That opens up a big old can right there. We're just going to leave it at in-laws. Just family in general. Man, okay. Y'all are funny. I said name situations. You're all talking about people. You all got somebody in mind. Well, if you got a minute, I'll give you a list, right? I was thinking through this. Let me protect y'all because some of you, your marriages are in trouble right now. I was thinking through a list, and you can help me add to things like getting pulled over, having the cop sitting behind you while you're sitting on the side, or, you know, going to Walmart, driving in general, you know, that. College guys, those who, or high school, you turn that paper in, because a test is a test, right? Multiple choices, you have to run it through the machine, and there's only a certain number of right answers. But when you turn a paper in to a professor or to a teacher, and then there's that waiting moment, right, where you're waiting for it to come back, because it's up to them to decide whether it met their standard, and who knows what a professor's standard is. It could change based on the day, right? There's that moment. Or maybe going for a job interview, and you go and there's that stress of going in for the interview and meeting the boss and getting to know the company. Or maybe the mortgage comes due and there's just not enough money in the bank account. Those are grown-up problems, right? We remember when in college all we thought the most stressful thing we'd ever face was a paper being turned in. But the mortgage comes due, or the bills come due, and there's just not quite enough in there. Or maybe you're pulling a team, and they're down with just less than a minute to go. Or maybe you're, you know, a Carolina fan and like me, and we're down by 50 with a whole second half to go. And, you know, it's bad when most Duke fans, there's the arrogant ones like Chris Council that are still this way. But for most part, he's not in here. I wish he was. I hope he listens to the podcast. But they, like, for the most part, even Duke fans have stopped giving us a hard time. They're like, oh, you know, they're like, oh, you're a Carolina fan? Come here. I mean, it's really gotten that bad. But your team is down and there's a minute to go. And man, you're dealing with the stress of, you hope they win, but there's nothing that you can do about it. Maybe you have surgery. In first service, somebody said surgery, or you get diagnosed with an illness, that ugly enters your family, and you realize, man, this is big. You know what I found is, no matter what list we make, whether it be driving or Walmart or in-laws or family in general, or surgery or a paper in class or getting pulled over, or your team having to come back from behind, whatever it is, there's this thread that kind of weaves into our most stressful situations in life. Here's what it is. Somebody else is in control. Think about that. Think about this concept that the most stressful things we face in life, the outcome of that situation is in the hands of somebody else. Somebody else determines what's going to happen in your life. And we don't like that, do we? And that's what stresses us out, is having to trust somebody else, because we like to be in control. We like to know what's going to happen. We like to be able to say what's going to happen and determine what's going to happen. But when it's in the hands of the doctor or the police officer or the bank or the new boss or the professor or a parent, all of a sudden, we're out of control. They get to determine, and it's stressful because we like to be in control. It's stressful. It causes anxiety when we have to put the outcome, the result, the outcome into the hands of somebody else. I mean, this is tough, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, we don't like to trust people, do we? We have trust issues. This is not a bad thing. I mean, all of us have been let down by somebody, whether we gave them a position of friendship or relationship in our life, or they were appointed a position of authority over us. We've all been let down by somebody. And so for good reason, we have trust issues. Good reason we struggle with trusting people, because they let us down, they disappoint us, they take it out. I mean, these are things we teach our kids, right? Don't trust people you don't know. Don't talk to strangers. Don't climb in the back of their ice cream truck, right? I mean, these are things that we teach, you know? It's like, hey, don't trust them. Don't speak to them. Don't let them get close to you. Why? Because we don't trust people. There's nothing wrong with that. It's probably a safe and a smart way to live life, except for one area of life. And the problem with trust issues is, and stress issues and control issues is when it starts crossing into our spiritual world. In our spiritual life, all of a sudden this trust and this control issue thing and this worry thing becomes a problem. And it forces us then to confess this something that all of us have said, maybe, thought, definitely, acted out for sure. And it's this: I doubt God. I don't trust God. I really don't trust God. This is our confession. This is the thing that we've all either thought or said or lived out in some way, shape, or form. And you'd say, oh, no, not me. Because last week I said, we all hate Christians. And you went, not me. But by the end, I proved you wrong, didn't I? And so today I'm telling you that you doubt God. And I doubt God. No, I get it, man. We all have these really cute, encouraging, trusty little sayings we like to give out, don't we? I mean, somebody else is dealing with something in life, and we like to hit them with a bunch of just great, great things. Like, you know, God can handle it. You know, let God handle that. God can take care of you. God's gonna take care of you if you just trust Him. Put it in God's hands. Put it in God's hands. He's gonna handle it. Or maybe this one, and this is one I have said, and I'll probably still say. And the reality is, like, I don't know the origin of this. I don't know, but you know, let me just throw it out there. Whenever God closes one door, oh, He does open another one, doesn't He? Amen. Can I get amen? I mean, we've all said it, right? Or like you've said it to somebody and be like, bro, whenever God closes one door, you don't worry, He's going to open another one. And we say these things: God's in control. You can trust God. I'm going to be praying for you. And here's the thing, though. When it comes to my life, and when it comes to like your own personal life, how much do you really trust all those cute little trusty things that look good on magnets? But I mean, come on, we got to suck them in and really believe them and live on it. When it comes to me, and I'm in something's happening in my life or something's going on in my family, how much do I really believe all these little catchy sayings? I mean, now, again, most of you are still I don't doubt God. Because I'm in church and lightning may hit, and right? You can't admit certain things. Here's the reality, man. If we're honest, if we get gut-wrenchingly deep, there's a reality for all of us because we're human. Because it's human nature that every single one of us tends to trust ourselves more than we actually trust God. Every single one of us tends to depend on ourselves more than we actually depend on God. And so if we're honest and we would say, hey, I put my trust in myself more than I put my faith in God. When we confess that we trust ourselves too much, guess what you're actually confessing? You're confessing, I doubt. Gotcha, didn't I? All of us have to confess this. All of us have to deal with this. And all of us know it's wrong. And I want us to look at Matthew chapter 6 so we can understand why it's wrong. But I want to, there's, in Matthew chapter 6, we're not actually going to look at the part that you might think we're going to look at. There's one verse that jumps out that I really want to kind of drive home. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, there's a Jesus is speaking. It's the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching to the people and to his disciples. And he starts in verse 25. He says, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing?" And I want to stop there and just kind of look at verse 25. Jesus says, "I tell you not to worry about your everyday life." He uses a word there, and it's spelled P-S-U-C-H-E. Now, Pastor Mike is going to help me pronounce it here in a minute, because I don't know if it's suk or suke or pasuki or I don't... Because a lot of times when I try to speak Greek, and I do understand Greek, and I love history, but y'all know, when I try to speak Greek, the redneck blends in, and it is never right. Ever right. So what is it, Mike?
You got it right. Suke.
Suke. See, I knew that's exactly what I thought. Well, I knew it all along. Suke. It means life. It means all these things. It means the breath that we breathe, but it also means the thoughts that we have, and it means the emotions that we feel, and it's the spiritual life that we live for God. Suke is all-encompassing in all things that we deal with, mental and physical and spiritual and emotional. It's everything, and Jesus is speaking, and he says not to worry about everyday everything. But beyond it being everyday everything, he goes on, and this word suke is not only all things, but it's also all time. Because it's everything that has happened, everything that is happening, and everything that's coming your way. And he says, don't worry about yesterday, don't worry about today, and definitely don't worry about what's coming, suke. All that you are for all time, don't worry about those things. This is Jesus' opening instruction when he's speaking about worry. He goes on in verse 26. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry? And I love that verse because literally translated, it meant, can all of your worrying make you an inch taller? Like standing in the mirror and stretching, trying and thinking, I want to be taller, Ariel. It doesn't work. It doesn't. I want to be taller. I want to be. And it, can all your worrying, can all your stressing make you an inch taller? Can it add a moment to your life? And verse 28, it says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work in making their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he'll certainly care for you. And why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat and what will we drink and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. Verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now, incredibly encouraging piece of scripture, I think. Jesus said, for all that you are and for all the time, don't worry about those things because God's going to handle it. I mean, he takes care of the birds and the flowers, and worry can't add an inch to your stature or a moment to your life, and worrying is wasted because God's going to take care of you. And yet right in the middle of that, and I think very purposely, Jesus does this a lot. When we see him speak, right in the middle of it, he'll throw in one little line that when we read it, we read the beginning and the end, and we go, man, that is just so encouraging. And the reality is that I think Jesus, in speaking this, would have paused. I didn't on purpose, because I read it the way we would read it. But I believe Jesus, in speaking, would have paused. He would have literally caught his breath for a moment, like I'm going to do. I've got one good line in here. Out of the whole sermon, there's one good thing, and I'm getting to it. And I'm going to pause and let you take it in and go, it wasn't as good as he thought it was. Or whatever it is that you think. When I get there, I'm going to pause. And I think Jesus, in his public speaking, would have paused. And here's why I think he would have paused, right around verse 32. Right around verse 32, I believe Jesus pauses. And he says, worry, and I'll paraphrase, worrying, it should be left for the unbelieving pagans. Worrying is for those who don't believe in God. Now, this is an interesting statement. I mean, when we look at this, at times we have to know that, understanding what Jesus just said, that we've made this confession. I doubt God. We all just said it. Sometimes I trust me more than I trust God. So I doubt God. Maybe I doubt that God can heal me or can fix what's going on in my life. Maybe I doubt that God loves or God cares. Maybe you fall into this boat. I doubt that God cares enough to even involve himself in my situation. I doubt God. I don't believe that he will or that he won't. And it says that the worrying or the stressing or the doubting is left for the unbelieving pagans. Now, we don't say these things out loud. Who do we leave these kind of statements for? The atheist, right? For people who claim that there is no God. For people who claim there is no supernatural being in heaven. For the ones who make fun of us for believing in God. These are the people that say things like this. The non-believers, the pagans, the atheists. So we can't say it out loud that God loves me. I don't believe God can fix my situation. I don't believe God cares enough about me to actually get himself involved. I don't believe God can heal my mother. God can take care of my student issue. I just don't believe it, and I'm living it, and I'm confessing it, but we can't say it out loud. Why? Because we leave that to the atheist. But Jesus said right here, he paused in the middle and said, don't worry. And then afterwards, he said, and don't worry. That was his whole theme, but right in the middle, he paused, and he said, because worry is what fills the minds of the unbelieving pagans. Worry is an attribute of atheism. Soak it in. And then let me clarify. Because that makes us not comfortable, right? This whole month is going to be very... If you like comfort, come next month. We're going to talk about love, relationships, marriage, kids. It's going to be all about like warm fuzzies and being the best husband and wife you can be according to Scripture. And we're all going to hug and high five. And it's going to be great. But this whole next few weeks is a little uncomfortable to deal with what I'm confessing and dealing with. Let me say that again, that worry is an attribute of atheism. It's a belief, some way, shape, or form, that there's not a God who can come through in my situation. Let me clarify. Let me be real clear. I don't believe that if you worry over a situation, it condemns you to eternal separation from God in a hell. I don't believe that. But I do know that worry is simply evidence of atheism. Worry is a sin. It's a characteristic of the unbelieving pagan. And so when we choose to worry, and when we choose to stress, and when we choose to overthink, how am I going to handle my situation? When we put way too much faith in our own abilities to deal with our own outcomes, we're actually putting ourselves, we're landing ourselves directly camp of the unbelieving atheistic pagan. And that sounds a whole lot worse than me saying, hey, don't worry, right? Bless you. That sounds a whole lot worse than me just saying, don't worry. But that's what Jesus said. I mean, Jesus actually said to his disciples, you say, well, how would we know what he meant? And in the worst possible situation is coming for his disciples. And it's this. It wasn't all the terrible things they had seen or the danger of their own life. It wasn't. What was happening was Jesus was leaving them. And right as he's getting ready to leave them, he's built them up and he's grown them and he's taught them and he's shown them things and they've been in dangerous situations and great situations and he's getting ready to leave them. And he says to them, I'm going to heaven. I'm gone. You know where I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And right before he says that in John chapter verse 1, he looks at him in John 14, 1, and he says, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. The disciples are about to face one of the most stressful things they've seen. They're about to try to do ministry for God without Jesus there. And he says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry about this. You keep trusting in God and keep trusting in me. This is the instruction from Jesus, that we not worry, but that we would trust in God. And here's the thing I know. I know that you know, and that I believe, we believe this together, that man, we know we're not supposed to worry. We know that. You know that. You don't need a preacher in a funny shirt to tell you that. I mean, you know that you're not supposed to worry. And we understand, man, that we're supposed to trust God in all situations. We know that. And we want to believe that God's plan and God's purpose is taking place right now. And whether I'm in the greatest or the worst situation of my life, God's plan is taking place right now. And we want to so deeply believe that. But man, all those sayings, remember we launched with those happy, cute, little trusty sayings of what God made other people that put it in God's hands and trust Him. And when God, and I've had people say to me, you know, when God closes that door, and people, He's going to open another one. And man, when I say it to somebody else, I feel so good and I feel so much better. And I feel like, man, I'm on a spiritual plane beyond that person. And if they'll get on my level, they won't worry anymore until it happens to me. And see, and then when it happens to me, if God closes a door and there's a potential that He's going to open another one, I don't have the patience to deal with that. And what I'm looking for is a whole bunch of really other strong people with a battering ram so we can knock that sucker down. I don't have time to wait on God to open that door because this is my life and this is my situation. And what I need is I need answers right now and I need to deal with this. We'll give God credit or blame God one way or the other, but we'll involve God. But you come with me and you come with me because God just closed that door and I'm going to find the one that He's going to open and we're going to kick it in. I mean, I remember when I had rotator cuff surgery a few years ago, I know hundreds of people who've had rotator cuff surgery. A bunch of them. None of them died. None of them have been altered in life. But man, that didn't stop me from being convinced that I might be the first. Intense, in my mind, it was the most intense, dangerous, involved, and risky rotator cuff surgery that had ever taken place in the history of the world. Because it was happening to me. And I had people come up and go, oh, my grandma had that last year. And she's fine. She's already back to bowling and driving again. I don't care. I mean, everybody had a story. They were like, well, my uncle had, and my brother had, and my grandma had. Shoot, I had it last week. You know what? I couldn't give two left armpits about your grandma and your brother and your uncle, because this is my shoulder, and this is the most risky shoulder surgery that has ever taken place in life, that you don't understand how dangerous this rotator cuff surgery is about to be, because it's mine. And I began to understand this concept of people say, there is no such thing as minor surgery if you're the one having it, right? There's no such thing as minor surgery if you're the one having it. And when it became my body that was being cut open, it was the most risky surgery ever. And I could die. I'm going to need some prayers, right? Because I'm struggling with the risk factor that doesn't even exist because it's personal. Now, if you were having it, Cameron, I'd be like, suck it up, big boy. How many of us are guilty of seeing other people's posts and everybody's like, I have a cold. And we're like, then take some medicine and go to work, sissy. I get a cold and I'm like, hey, baby, I can't even reach the Kleenex. I can't even get there. I need juice. Juice. Because I'm dying because I've got a cold because it's my cold. You get a cold and you're a sissy. I get a cold and it's the worst cold. It's worse than any plague that has ever afflicted North America because it's my, are y'all with me? When it's my stuff, when it's your stuff, it's the biggest that it's ever been. And these cute little sayings don't cut it anymore, do they? God shuts one door, He'll open another one. Put it in God's hands and trust that He'll be there. I'm going to be praying that God will handle this for you. That's all well and good when we're saying it to somebody else. But if we're honest and if we're real, when it comes right down to that, there's this issue. Now, this is how we say it. We say things like, I'm going through a lot right now. Or I'm going through something I've never been through and it's just confusing. So I'm going to need, that's why I'm acting this way or feeling this way. Or there's things going on in my life that I need you to pray about blank. Here's the danger of that. And this is where I want you to be tuned in and get this. See, that last one, That one can't be wrong, can it? I'm dealing with this, and really what I'm saying is I doubt God and I need you to pray for me. But you fill in whatever blank it is and you say, and I need you to pray about blank. Can that be wrong? To pray in a difficult situation? To ask others to pray for something in a difficult situation? Well, let me show you, and this, let me, as we kind of close this thing up of doubting God, I think here's how prayer can potentially, can actually feed our doubt. I think prayer can actually make our lack of trust stronger. Here's why. We ask for prayer. I'm worried about this. I'm doubting God on this, and I need you to pray for blank. When we want prayer, oftentimes what we're asking is for God to fix the problem. But when we ask for prayer, what we really should be asking is that God would solve our worry. See, worry is a sin. Doubt is a sin. Worry is a sin. And prayer, I think, and here's that moment. I'm about to pause, so get ready. See, prayer can very easily become our crutch for a faith that's already limping. Pause. Let me say it again. Prayer can very easily become the crutch that holds up our faith that's already limping. I mean, you're already doubting God. We're already struggling with whether or not we believe Him. And prayer becomes that crutch that just kind of holds up a weak faith instead of faith becoming stronger. It just stays where it is, and it keeps it from falling over, but it's not growing. And I think that, man, our prayer is not for God to make everything right. It's not for God to make everything perfect. Our prayer is that God would strengthen our faith and in His unfailing provision so that as things are not perfect, we still move forward. I mean, I think when we pray that God would remove all things that make us worry, we're setting ourselves up for failure. This is where unbelief and doubt and all these things come in, as we start praying and asking and expecting that God would remove everything that makes us worry. I've got a news flash for you. Life sucks. Die. Last week, I told you all to tweet that God hates you. This week, you can tweet that one. Life sucks. Then you die. I mean, here's the reality. Life is broken, right? We live in a world that's sinful. We live in a world that's crushed. We live in a world that's imperfect. We live in a world of sickness and pain and tears and death. And when we go praying to God, God, please remove everything in my life that causes me to worry, you're setting yourself up desperately, setting yourself up for failure or more unbelief, because God must not care about me because He did not remove the obstacles in my life. God must not love me because He didn't take all this stuff away from me. God must not care about my family because there was no healing for the situation that we were praying for. We sometimes get stuck in praying that God would remove all the things in our life that cause us to worry. In reality, what we should be praying for, and if we're going to pray, is that we pray for faith, we pray for wisdom, and that we would trust God in our suke, in our all-encompassing emotions and our emotional and our physical and our mental and our spiritual, our all that it was and all that it is and all that it's going to be. For all that we are, we pray that He gives us faith, He gives us trust, He gives us wisdom as we move, and then we begin to understand exactly how to trust God. We begin to see what it looks like to trust God. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, do what? Pray about everything. Prayer is a great thing when we do it right. Prayer, it says, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Look at verse 7, though. It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Read it over and over and over again, and what you'll see is that this is not a promise of a life that's void of stressful situations. Nowhere in Scripture do we see a promise of a life that is void of worryful or worrying situations and anxious situations. That doesn't happen. That's not part of being human. That's not part of living in a broken, sinful, corrupt world. That's why Revelation promises that one day there'll be no more tears, and one day there'll be no more pain, and one day there'll be no more sickness. But it's not that day. As long as we live on earth in a broken humanity, we're there. And not a promise of a life that is void of stress and a life that is void of worry. What it is a promise is that in the midst of all of that, no matter what life brings our way, we can trust that God is in control. This is what the promise is. In verse 7, it says, you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. God's peace is bigger and stronger than any situation we face. God's peace is more overpowering than any family or Walmart experience we could ever have. God's peace is greater than any stressful situation that can come into life. And he never promised us the removal of stress. He promised us that we can trust that he's in control. So here's the equation. Trusting in God leads to peace. That goes beyond our own understanding. Do you understand that verse? It says in the most crazy situations, when everything else is falling apart, God will give you peace that goes beyond your understanding. How will I ever make it through this? And there's something that comes over that only God can provide in the midst of our worst situations. So if trusting in God is our source of peace, then doubt and worry, this is what leads us. God is what leads us then to stress. It leads us to the anxiety about life of what will I do about my situation. And I want you to hear this morning. All of us have confessed or should confess, I doubt God. When you come in today, and hear me, you may see that maybe people are listening to the podcast or maybe you're here today and you go, but not me, Josh. I honestly believe there's not a human on this planet that can ever say that I don't doubt God. I trust me more than I trust God. Here's what we're striving towards is removal of doubt. We're trying to move towards that because in most of life's situations, a lack of control. Remember we talked about that? The threat, the lack of control that causes stress. Here's what we're striving towards in following Christ. And this is why we're starting the year with these. Because the whole goal is that we grow closer to Christ. We can laugh and you can feel uncomfortable and we can package this way however we want to. But we want you to walk out of this first part of this year so that we can build on this idea of us understanding where we stand with God and where we're trying to go with God. And when we confess that I doubt God, what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up and saying we're now ready to move past the doubt. We're ready to move further into our faith, and lack of control in life causes stress. But in following Christ and growing closer to God and becoming more intimate in our relationship with Him, it's us handing over control is what actually leads to a deeper relationship with God. We hand over control to the Almighty, to the Creator, to the Savior, to the one who will eternally be our King. We hand over control because He has hit our greatest interest in mind. In what? In our pasuki, in our suke. He has our greatest interest in mind in all that we think and all that we feel in our spiritual walk and in our words and in our actions for all that it ever was and all that it is now and all that you're going to face in the future. We hand over control to our all-encompassing life from the breath that we breathe to the love that we share with an almighty Creator. And so it's not about losing control. It's about handing over control to the one who is in control and loves us more than we could ever understand. Let me pray for us.